Matthew 28, verse 16, and on through the end of the chapter, Matthew 28, 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, help us as we teach the Lord some very practical things when it comes to this matter of soul winning. Just some simple do's and don'ts that will help us, Lord, properly represent you, to put you in the best light possible. Dear Lord, we read where Paul wrote, through inspiration, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. And Lord, as an ambassador goes and he goes to a foreign country and he represents his nation, the entire nation is judged sometimes by what they see in that ambassador. So, Lord, this world is not our home. We're just passing through. And, Lord, we have been sent by you, dear God. Our home is in heaven. We come from a different country. The Bible says we are aliens and strangers in this land. And so, Lord, help us to understand that what the people think about our God and about our heavenly home is going to be judged a lot by the interaction they have with us. And so I pray, Lord, as we go forth as ambassadors, representing our church and the Lord Jesus, that you'll help us to do the right things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Do's and don'ts in soul winning. Do's and don'ts in soul winning. I want to give you the number one do in soul winning. I don't want to give you all these things and then at the end of it say, oh, preacher, man alive, I'm afraid to go now. What if I don't do the right thing? What if I don't do something that's wrong? What if I forget one of these things? I think the biggest mistake that you can make is simply not going. The number one do is do go. Do go soul winning. Bible commands us to go, and it's good for you to best way to do it consistently is having a weekly scheduled time for soul winning, a time where you go out. Those of you that we're going to encourage to get involved, hopefully a greater number of you in our soul winning efforts and our Operation Occupation next year, the only way that you're going to consistently do it is schedule it. You know, one of the things I've said is, you know, if I went soul winning when it was convenient in my spare time, I would never go soul winning. And you have to just schedule it. You have to make that part of your life. You have to make it a priority of your life. So as we're going to go through the do's, I'm going to give you number one. Just do go. Do go. And, well, preacher, I'm not even sure if I know what I'm doing. Well, we'll pair you up with somebody that does. And you can go out and talk to people and learn by listening and be a good representative for the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, when possible, go in twos. Go in twos. I think this is the Bible formula, Mark chapter 6, verse 7. I think there's a lot of advantages to going with a soul winning partner. I'll go sometimes with a partner. I'll go sometimes by myself if I don't have anybody available to go, and I'll go. But I think the best case scenario is to go in twos. I like what Brother Jeff said in his testimony. You know, he had Max there. How was he able to carry on the conversation with the mom and dad? Well, Max has gone with his dad long enough to know, hey, if I can keep the kids busy, I can give them some quiet talk time. And so a lot of time that second person can run interference for you a little bit, for encouragement, for accountability, for protection, for prayer support, and to intercept interruptions. And we could talk a whole bunch on that, but if possible, when possible, go with a soul winning partner. I think that's best case scenario. Number three, do respect the people and their property. And remember, when you walk on somebody else's property, you're their guest. And so be sure that you show respect to them, and you show respect to their property when you go soul winning. So always remember, I'm a guest at their house. Somebody comes to the door, they're in a bad mood. Somebody comes to the door, I've had them do it. Says, I don't know what you're here for, but I want you off my property. Just that blunt. I say, yes, sir. Thank you for just a minute of your time. I'll be leaving. And you know what? It's their property. And so just always be respectful with people and respect their property. It's just kind of teaching time. Number four, do use the sidewalks, okay? Do use the sidewalks. And I know it's a lot easier. Sometimes you're having to walk the full length, and if I could just cut across the yard, and if I left this house and just ran across the yard to this house, But again, you have to remember that there are many people that are very picky about their property. They are. And the best way for you to approach the house is to take the time to use the sidewalk. Teenage boys, don't be jumping over their flower beds or cutting across their yard. And you say, well, but I haven't even knocked yet. Most people are watching you before you get there, okay? In some of our neighborhoods, you'll hit the first five doors, and then you get two or three ladies that get on the phone, and they warn the neighbors they're coming, all right? So they'll be watching for you. And so just remember, it's best to just use the sidewalks, and people will watch you from the window as you approach. And so be careful about that. Number five, let me just say this. When you're walking from house to house, and when you get up there, you know, smile. You know, it just seems like a simple thing, but I'm going to tell you something. People will be judging you by what they see on your face. And so when you knock on the door, best thing that you can do to greet somebody before you say a word is just have a smile on your face. And, you know, be happy. Be happy that you have the opportunity. Be happy to meet the person. Be genuine in your smile. But I think a genuine smile is your best introduction. It puts people at ease. It's the best evidence that you what you have come to offer them actually works in life, all right? And so smile. Number six, clearly identify yourself. Do clearly identify yourself. As soon as people, and you knock on the door, the first thing that ought to come out of your mouth is who you are and why you're there, okay? You come to my house and you knock on my door. When I open the door, I've had a couple people do this. They'll say, hello there, and I'll say, hello. And they'll say, well, we're sure having good weather, aren't we? And I'll say, yes, we are. And then I'll say, who are you and why are you here? Okay, somebody that's just kind of meandering around and talking, I don't know who they are, I don't know why they're on my step. So we want to right away put them at ease. People are careful, and I don't blame them for opening the door nowadays. You knock on the door, that's why the packets are so nice. You can have it in your hand. I'll talk about that in a minute. They can open the door. They'll look right down at what you've got in your hand. They can see that you're from a church, clearly identified. As soon as they open the door, I'm Pastor Jerry Ross from Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and this is an Introduce Your Partner. We've come here and to drop off a packet of information, and do you go to church? And that way, right up front, they know exactly who you are. If I've got somebody at my door and they won't tell me who they are or they won't tell me why they're there, then that bugs me pretty quick, because I want to know who you are and I want to know why you're there. You know, the Jehovah's Witnesses are terrible about this. They don't want to say, hello, my name's so-and-so and I'm a Jehovah's Witness. They'll ask you questions. They'll try to start a conversation. They'll do anything but say who they are. I thought, you know what? If you're not ashamed of who you are, you ought to tell people who you are. I'm not ashamed that I'm from Blessed Hope Baptist Church, so I tell them right away. Clearly identify which church you're from. Number seven, do get a gospel tract in their hand immediately. Right after I introduced myself, I've got that packet. First thing I said is, we're here to drop off an information packet. And I immediately, before I say much of anything else, am trying to get that packet in their hand. Even if the visit ends abruptly or they decide they don't want to talk to me, if I get it in their hand right away, when they shut the door, they've got it in their hand, okay? So I've at least delivered the gospel to the house. So the first thing I say after I introduce myself is we're passing out an information packet, and we put it right in their hand. That way, if the phone rings or if they decide after a couple minutes they don't want to talk, you're still holding that. You know, I really got to go, and they shut the door, and you're standing there holding the packet. We didn't get it in the door. And so right away, get them the information, okay? All right, number eight. And a lot of this stuff I know is obvious things, but it's good for us to say it. Do be polite. Do be polite. And we had an older couple several years ago visit our church on a Sunday night. And I asked them, I said, who invited you to church? And they told me that two of our teenagers on Teen Soul Winning had gone by their house. And you know what they said? They said, you know what? We didn't think that they made teenagers that were that polite anymore. They invited us to church. They, yes ma'am and yes sir, and we'd like to see you come. And they said we didn't spend much time talking to them, but by the time we shut the door, both of us looked at each other and said, wow, those kids were sharp. Those kids were polite. You know what? We got to at least visit one time. And it does make an impression on people when you are polite. So remember, it's never right to be unkind. It's never right to be impolite to somebody. No matter what they say or what they do, you know what? You can smile and you can be polite and you can disengage and go on to the next house. Number nine, do look them in the eye. Okay, if I'm talking to somebody and they're shifty-eyed, then I figure that I can't trust them, okay? Be careful. When they come to the door, look at them. Teenagers, watch this. Don't be looking past them. Don't be going like this and looking around what's in their house. They think you're casing the joint, okay? And so it does make people uneasy, and it's just a polite thing to do. Learn that when you talk to somebody, to look them right in the eye. Men, as we are out visiting, if a lady comes to the door, super, super important that you look her in the eye and you always talk to her looking in the eye. Unfortunately, a lot of ladies are not dressed properly, and what they think is proper is not. And you know what? You have to be so careful because they'll judge you by where your eyes are. So look them right in the eye and talk to them, and that will help you. Number 10, do deliver the gospel. And again, that's why we came. Now, let me talk to all the young people and everybody that's doing it. You know what, folks? There's a difference between a church visitation program and church soul winning. And if you're not careful, teen soul winning can have now shifted over where it's just teen visitation. Okay? We're not training you and spending all this time teaching and training you so you can go out on teen visitation. I think it's a great first step. If you're uncomfortable giving the gospel and you just go out and give them the packets, invite them to church, amen. I'll take it. But at some point, remember, we're there to give them the gospel, okay? And so how we do that? We're hopefully to do it three different ways. When we get there, we want to get the packet into their hand immediately. And then they have the gospel to read. I'm real excited about our new packets. I'm real excited about the Ever Got Lost a pamphlet that's in there. I've talked to our leaders. I think we keep running into the same handful of situations. One of the big challenges is not getting people saved. It's getting people lost enough to get saved. And I know they're lost enough, but getting them to realize they're lost enough to get saved. And so I'm real excited about that. But we want to get them the information. And then if you get a chance, share your testimony. And we've taught on that. And then if they'll let you, open up your New Testament and go through the scriptures and share from the Word of God. That's our goal. But be careful. We don't just get into this habit of next thing you know, we're just visiting people and inviting them to church. You know, it's a lot easier to do that. Be honest, it's a lot easier to do that than to ask the tough question. It's a lot easier to do that than to go ahead and give your testimony and open that door. But remember, we're out there to give the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to do it in written form, but we also want to do it through our personal testimony. And if we're allowed to, by opening the scriptures to them. Number 11, do get accurate and complete information on prospects and new converts, okay? It's hard for us to follow up on a new convert if we don't know where they live, okay? It's, a teen soul winning taught me so much. I used to love taking the teens out. I mean, it just one of the hardest things for me to hand off was that because I just enjoyed going with them. But also one of the most humorous things, you know. We'd have two young ladies that come back to the bus. They're so excited, and they got to lead somebody to the Lord. And they'll say, what's the address? I don't know. What was their names? We didn't ask. Can you describe the house? Well, there was a driveway, and there was a sidewalk. And do you remember what color it was? Now, how are we going to follow up on them? And so one of the most important things to do is to carry the 3x5 card or decision card with you and an ink pen, because I don't know about y'all, but my memory's as long as my pencil, okay? And if I don't write it down, I'm not remembering it. So take the time after someone gets saved to get accurate information from them, and that way we're able to follow up on them. Number 12, if you get to lead somebody to the Lord, do give God the glory. Give God the glory. I think the quickest way to lose the blessing of the Lord as a soul winner is to begin to take credit for seeing somebody saved. Listen, we plant water, God gives the increase. So always give God the glory. And so that's 12 do's. Now we're going to talk about the don'ts in soul winning. All righty, so here's some things that'd be best not to do, or to be careful about this. Number one, don't knock too loud or too soft, okay? You can knock so soft that nobody's going to hear you. Okay, if they're not in the back, they're not right there by the door, they're not going to hear you. You can knock so loud that somebody comes to the door mad. I mean, if you come and beat on my front door, you better have a reason for doing it, okay? Because when I open the door, I'm not going to be in a good mood. Why are you beating on my door? And, you know, I've gone out with people, oh, bless God, we just give the old Baptist, bam, 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 bam. But then I've also watched the looks on their faces when they come to the door. Be careful about that. You want to do it loud enough where they know that you're there, and but at the same time, not so loud that you offend people, okay? Number two, don't crowd the door. Don't crowd the door. One of the things that I'll do is I'll always knock and then always take a full step back. And that's because, again, folks, the society we live in, we want people to feel very safe. And so if I knock on a door, I'll take a full step back and I'm holding the packet like this and I've got the smile on my face because I'm ready to greet them. And when they open the door, they look at your face first, they look down here, and usually just two glances, I can see them relax. They realize, okay, you know, this isn't a terrorist. You know, this is somebody that's come to rob me. And as soon as they crack the door, sometimes a lady won't open the storm door. And by the way, I tell my wife the same thing. I would rather her open the door, keep the storm door locked. And if they don't open the storm door, then I just speak up so she can hear me. Hello, ma'am. I'm from Blessed Old Baptist Church, Pastor Jerry Ross, and I hold the packet out. Once they see that we're in church, even if there's a lady there and she's a little nervous, she'll usually at least open the door and let me slide it in, and that's fine. If I really sense that this woman is uncomfortable, she's by herself, she's uncomfortable, then what I do is I just say, let me just drop off the information packet, and I'd love you to read what's in there, and I hope you and your husband will come visit us. You know, listen, folks, if somebody's obviously uncomfortable, then take that as a sign that the best thing that you can do is just drop off the information and get away and let her feel comfortable, okay? And you just got to kind of learn to read people's body language a little bit and expression on their face. And so be careful about that. Don't crowd the door. Number three, don't talk too fast like I'm doing right now. Don't talk too fast. You know, when you get nervous, you tend to talk quicker. And so when you have to sometimes slow down, okay? Slow down on purpose. And so don't talk too fast. And number four, don't mumble. Don't mumble. Now, teenagers are notorious mumblers. You don't think you are, but you are. And so learn to speak up and speak clearly, okay? Especially when you're dealing with senior citizens, okay? You may feel like, well, I'm talking too loud. Well, you're not, because they most of them are a little hard of hearing, okay? And so it's speak up, clear, enunciate, tell them who you are. But don't mumble under your breath, you know. If you stand there and they come to the door and, hello, man, huh? You know. And so speak clearly, speak up, and that'll be a help. Number five, don't goof around between houses, all right? This is for our adult men. Don't goof around between houses. I was visiting across on Teen Soul Winning one day, and we had it where I had two teenage boys visiting together on this side. We had an odd number, so I was on by myself over here. And these guys were goofing around between the houses. And I mean, they were going between the houses and be walking along. One kid would push the other kid off the sidewalk. And I know, hey, you're having fun, I get it. But you remember, people are watching you. Remember, I'm an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, when you get back to the church, you're not out soul winning, go out in the yard, knock each other down, I don't care. But when you're out soul winning, be careful about goofing around between houses. These two boys kept doing it, and then they kept aggravating each other. And they ended up finally getting into like a wrestling match on the sidewalk between houses. So you can imagine Pastor Jerry Ross now disengages, comes across, and the rest of the time they were walking at attention properly going to the houses. And that's what we do. So don't goof around between houses, because the people you've already talked to are watching. People across the street are watching. I got to tell you something about small towns. It's going to shock you, but people are nosy in small communities. They're very nosy. And if you're in their neighborhood, they're looking. They're a lot watching you. When you don't think you're being observed, you're being observed. There was a call that came in one time when our teams were out soul winning, and Brother Gordon was with them, and a lady called me up. And you know what? I questioned the situation, found out. But some of our guys were down at the end of a street. They were waiting for the bus, and there was a street sign there. And they were just grabbing the street sign and running by it and then twirling around it, you know. And I don't think they would do anything, you know. Again, just a reminder, somebody's watching you. So some lady across the street calls my office while you're twirling around the sign. And she's like, what kind of young people are you sending? They've come out here to our neighborhood, and they're tearing up the street signs right out of the ground, you know. Well, just remember, whatever you do that's this bad, by the time, you know, the neighborhood gossip gets done with it, it's going to be this bad. And so that's why you don't listen. I can't control, you know, people that just aren't going to like us, but I'm sure not going to hand them ammunition for their gun. And so let's just be aware that anything you do, it's going to get blown out of proportion. I haven't probably pulled our bus drivers in a long enough time and give a bus driver pep talk, but this is a good chance for me to do it. And I appreciate it. I mean this. We couldn't have a bus ministry without bus drivers. But I'm going to tell you, it is so important that you drive by the letter of the law. And I know you're trying to get through those houses, and I know you're trying to get to church on time, and I understand all those things. And you may think, well, nobody in the world will ever see this. I'm out in the middle of nowhere, and you'll run a stop sign or do one of those, you know, California rolls or something through the sign. But you know what? Somebody saw it. And next thing you know, what you did that really wasn't that big a deal becomes a big deal. And the thing is, let's just obey the law. I mean, let's just make sure that everything we're doing, that we can't open ourselves up for criticism, because we get a reputation in the community of the fact that our buses are being driven by people that are unlawful and unsafe. It's going to hurt our bus ministry. So just go by the letter of the law, okay? Don't goof around between houses. Number six, don't talk to small children without their parents' permission. And folks, listen to me. The way the world was 30, 40 years ago when I was a young bus captain, the way it is now, it's a different world. And I just don't carry on conversations with children. If I come to a house and there's kids playing out in the yard, I'll say hello there. And they'll say hello. And I'll say, is your mom and dad home? First thing I say, I don't say, what is your name? I don't try to talk to them about church. First thing I do is ask, is your mom and dad home? And they say, yes, they are. Or my mom is. I said, would you go get her? And I don't carry on a conversation with the kids until they get the parents. Now, folks, listen to me. You say, preacher, I've been kind of doing that. You got to stop doing that. Do not talk to children without having talked to their parents or their grandmother or some adult that's in charge of them. And then talk to them, identify them to yourself, and then say, well, I came by and I saw your kids, and I wanted to invite them to church. And then you can, in the presence of them, if you want to direct the conversation to the kids. But I want all of you that are parents to think for a minute. If you're in the house and you're cleaning, ma'am, or you're doing dishes, and you look out the window, and some man you don't know is standing out in the yard talking to your children, by the time you get outside, you're not going to be too happy. Okay, and this is the world we live in. Like I said, I don't even think it would have been that big a deal. We used to train our bus workers to go out and talk to the kids and get them all excited about coming before we went and talked to the parents, because then you got the kids on your side and they hit the door going, Mom, you got to let us go. Mom, this is so cool. But you know what? We live in a different world now. And so we've really got to be careful on that. So don't talk to small children without parents' permission. All right, number seven. Teens, let me say this to our teens and remind them on Teen Soul Winning. I don't want any of our teenagers ever going into a house, ever, ever, ever going into a house. If you're going out on Teen Soul Winning, somebody, you knock on the door, it's cold out. Some sweet little grandmotherly lady says, why don't you step on in? It's cold. You say, ma'am, we're not allowed to, and we didn't come in to stop in and visit. Let me just leave this packet with you. I know people are being kind. But in this day and age, I cannot have teenagers going into houses because you never know what the circumstance is in any given house. And young ladies, this would be especially true of our young ladies. I don't have to go into all the reasons why. I think those of you that know. But in this day and age, something can happen so quick, so fast. You know, I want to, as an adult, overseeing kids on Teen Soul Winning, I want to be able to look and see our teens. And if young people begin to use, you know, just be aware, this world's not getting safer. It's just not. And I'm not trying to scare parents, But boy, if we just follow some things. By the way, I don't think your kid could be more protected than out knocking on doors talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. That "lo, I am with you always" is connected to go into all the world and preach the gospel, okay? So I'm not trying, you know, we can imagine our things to the point where we're so scared we won't go anywhere and talk to anybody about Jesus. But when we go soul winning, there's a reason that we keep our kids, our young people in pairs. There's a reason that if you're on the other side of a street from another one, especially guys, if you're visiting on the other side and there's two girls on this side, you know what? Maybe they stopped and they're talking, leading somebody to the Lord, and you get about a block or so ahead and you get the point you can't see them. I would rather you back up and wait for them to get done so you can at least keep an eyesight to them. And I know it, that means you may not get as many houses, but we want to just do everything we can to keep our young people safe, keep them safe. So teens, don't ever go inside of a home, okay? Ever, and in capital letters, ever go inside of a home, okay? Whatever you're thinking of as the exception, no, ever go inside of a home. Adults, I would tell you in this day and age to be careful also. Men, especially if you are by yourself, if you're not visiting with a partner, I'd be very careful going into a home by myself. You know, go down through the, and I won't take time tonight, but in the Bible it talks about in the last days perilous times shall come, men shall be lovers of their own self, and it talks about the sins of the last days. One of the sins that I used to puzzle over and didn't think why that would be a big deal in the last days, or in the last 10 years, I understand it now. But one of the sins on that list is false accusation or false accusers. And folks, listen to me. You have got to so guard your testimony. You realize in this Me Too generation that we are training a generation to want to be a victim and to want to be part of that. And you know, the thing it is, the best way to keep anybody from ever being able to level an accusation against you is never put yourself in a situation where you're by yourself with anybody. And I mean that, anybody. You know, it used to be, you tell the men, be careful around the girls. You better be careful around the boys now. Right. You listen to what I'm saying? These young people have learned that to get attention, they've been coming to church here for 6 months and they love us, and a month from now they may hate us. Right. And something said or something done and they don't like it anymore, and now they're going to. And the thing about it is, you know, it's a general rule, not just on visitation, but I'm going to tell you something. You know, I'm not alone ever with another, hardly anybody in my life, except my wife. And hey, if there's a man in this church that comes by and wants to sit in the office and talk to me, I'll talk to you. I'm not crazy when it comes to this, but I'm just telling you, in this day and age, I just am not putting myself in a situation where somebody can later say, well, he said this or he did this. And so if I'm out on visitation, a lady answers the door and she says, you can step on in. Good. Now, hopefully you got enough sense not to do that. And again, don't let your good be evil spoken of. And I would say to our ladies that are going, I would really like you to keep the same rules as the teenagers. If we've got two adult ladies going out visiting, I still would prefer that you not go into a house. Now, you're an adult. If you discern that it's a widow lady or an older lady by herself, I'm trusting you to use good judgment. But you just got to be careful, 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 careful. And so when it comes to going into somebody's home, teenagers, don't ever do it. As adults, don't go into a home if you're by yourself. Ideally, you're visiting in pairs, and if you get invited in as a pair, it's fine. Also, don't, as adults, ever go inside a home where the member of the opposite gender is there alone. I don't care if there's two men. If that lady's there by herself, again, don't let your good be evil spoken of. And you know what? That person may have invited you in, had a good conversation. You bring something up, it ticks her off a little bit. And she says, two men came in, was visiting from Blessed Hope, and they said this to me, or they touched me, or they suggested. And you know what? I mean, I know you can't insulate yourself against any and all false accusations, but like I said, I'm not giving them the ammunition. And so just use wisdom, 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 wisdom. Remember, we're not just commanded to avoid evil, but the appearance of evil. And your testimony is not worth risking. Years ago, I traveled some and preach out, and years ago, I mean, many, many years ago, there would be times when a pastor didn't want to, the church didn't want to spend the money for a motel or something like that. And there was a few times that I've stayed in people's homes. And I mean, you know, they'd say, well, so-and-so in your house would like to put you up and all of this. But I'm going to tell you, probably about 15 years ago, I just quit doing that. I've worked my whole life to build a good testimony. And it takes, in this day and age, you don't have to be guilty in this arena. You just have to be accused. Okay? It's sad because, you know, we still live in America, and we ought to be innocent until proven guilty. But we've created a society that is saying it doesn't matter if someone accuses you, you need to believe that person. Well, what about the sin of false accusation? So I just said to myself, I talked over my wife, and I said, if I'm not traveling with my wife, I'm by myself, and they offer to put me up in some house somewhere, or you know, spare bedroom of somebody's house, I just told the preacher, I'll spend money out of my pocket. I'm not asking the church to pay for it. I'll gladly pay for a motel room, but I'm not going to stay in somebody's home. And you know, I've heard preachers even make smart like comments about this. You know, some preachers just think they're so good. It's not that we think we're too good. It's not that we wouldn't love to spend some time with some of their people. But you realize if I spend the night there, and 2 months later, some teenage daughter that was there or some wife decides she wants some attention and wants to level an accusation, my entire ministry is now at risk. And all I can say is that didn't happen. But the best way for me to insulate myself is not put myself in a situation where that accusation could even be made. And you know, you just have to use judgment. I don't know where all the lines are on this, but I know this. I just like a lot of insulation between me and the chance of being falsely accused of anything, okay? And so number 10, don't argue. Don't argue. Jesus told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, not argue the gospel. That's one of the most important things you'll learn in soul winning. I tell the story of going over to Swiss City and years ago and dropped off two young men. Said, I want you to start on this house. And I want you to do the next three blocks, and I'll pick you up at the railroad track. So we go to pick all of the kids up, and I go to the railroad track, and they're not there. One of the most joyful moments of my life is when I'm trying to find teenagers that I've dropped off, and they're not where they're supposed to be. So I'm circling and driving and checking and backtracking, and I go back one block, and I thought, well, maybe they got turned and misunderstood, and I'm going everywhere and to look for these two boys that I dropped off. And finally I said, let's go back to where we dropped them off and start from there. And you know where they were? An hour and a half after I dropped them off, they were standing at the front door of the house I dropped them off at. You know how many houses they got done that day? One. Say, why were they there? They spent an hour and a half arguing with the Jehovah's Witness. And that I said, what are you doing? Did the person get saved? No. They're Jehovah's Witness. I said, did you share the gospel with them? Well, he wanted to ask questions, and he wanted to argue, and he wanted to tell us. And whoa. I said, I just stood on the sidewalk, and I said, look at all the rest of the houses on these three blocks. Can you see them? Yeah. I said, what if there's somebody behind one of those doors, and they were waiting for someone to show them how to be saved? Yeah. Guess what the devil just did? He just tied you up for an hour and a half. I said, was you going to change that guy's mind? No. Was he going to change your mind? Did you guys become Jehovah's Witnesses? No. So you wasted an hour and a half. I'm all for trying to give the gospel to somebody or to try to shed light on in their darkness if you can do it. But you know what? If I get to a point where within four or five minutes, this person's not interested in listening, they're trying to tell me where I'm wrong, I'm not going to stand there and argue with them. I don't argue the gospel. I preach the gospel. At some point, I'll just say, listen, God bless you, and here's the material. They'll take it. And, hey, they always want us to take their material. So, you know, and just move on down the road. Move on down the road, okay? So don't argue with them. Number 11, don't get sidetracked. Stay with the gospel. Again, many unsaved folks will want to get you off on rabbit trails. They'll ask you a question, divert you from the gospel message. And a lot of times, you know, if it's a question that you can see is about something that is a roadblock between them and receiving the gospel, you know, we can go to the story of Jesus dealing with the woman at the well. She brought up some things. Jesus dealt with them. Nicodemus asked some questions. Jesus dealt with them. But it was all in the line of the gospel, not, you know, you're in the middle of the second point of your presentation, and the man says, look, can I ask you a question? Yeah. Where did Cain get his wife? All right, what are you doing? All right, that's a great question. You know what, once I get done going through this, maybe we can address that and stay on track, stay delivering the gospel, okay? And number 12, this kind of umbrella what I said in some of my cautions earlier, don't take unreasonable risks. Now, you can talk to our mission leaders, and those of you that have been, we have all kinds of situations out there. And one of the things we tried to train our soul winners in this area is you're going to get some of these areas that are so far off the beaten track. And you know why people build out in the middle of nowhere? A lot of them do it because they want left alone. And if there's, you know, beware of dog signs and no trespassing signs and all of this stuff, some people are putting gates up even. You know, again, they're the landowner. You want to respect that. If I do that on my property and you disrespect that, again, I'm upset. And so, you know, a lot of times if they have a gate, you can hang it on the gate somewhere. If there's beware of dog signs, and again, especially with our ladies, but even our men, there's just some times where I'm just not comfortable. Say, preacher, have you just completely skipped a house at times? Yes, I just have. Just, you know, the situation was such where I just didn't see any way to even leave the packet or whatever. And I just said, you know what, Lord, I stop and pray for him and I move on. You just use good sense and don't take unreasonable risks. You know, sometimes you'll walk into see a house and young people, and I don't know if this happened, but if you're doing it on a weekend sometimes, bus workers, you can knock on a door and the door opens and there's a party going on. I mean, there's a party going on. And you know what? You can smell something that don't quite smell like cigarettes, but there's booze, and they say, come on in. Use wisdom. And there's sometimes it's best to say, hey, you know what? You guys got this thing going on, and why don't I leave the pamphlet here, and I'll come sometime when you don't have, when it's a better opportunity. And just, you know, all I can say is just listen to the Holy Spirit, use good judgment, good wisdom. I know this is more of a teaching type of a thing, but just good practical information so that when we go soul winning, we're doing it the right way. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, help us, Lord, as we're preparing again, dear God, our hearts and our minds to properly go out and represent you. Give us a great year, Lord, a great year. We're going to be kicking off in just a couple Sunday nights, our Operation Occupation, our soul winning program. I pray, Lord, you'd prepare our hearts and then prepare the hearts of the people that are out there waiting. And Lord, thank you for the opportunity. What an honor to be an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. What an honor to be able to go and tell people about Jesus. So Lord, guide us, direct us, and Lord, help us to use wisdom as we go in Jesus' name.